I had planned to begin a new series today from the book of Jude and 1 Peter, but during my study and preparation, I felt the Lord leading me to take a detour, focusing on a totally different scripture passage and subject matter. So today we will start a new series instead from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, entitled, What God Hates. What God Hates. I'm sure we are all familiar with lists. For example, a to-do list, a bucket list, grocery or shopping list, wish list or checklist, Santa's naughty list, and a honey-do list. There are lists that you want to be on, like the VIP list, but there are other lists you don't want to be on, like the no-fly list. Now, we all know that God also has several lists, including things to do and what not to do. For example, the Ten Commandments list, the Fruit of the Spirit list, Gift of the Spirit list, and Lo and Behold, a blacklist, which is a list of people or things that are regarded as unacceptable or untrustworthy and should be excluded or avoided or even punished. But the question is, are we familiar with God's blacklist, or you're scratching your head right now? We may not be aware of this list because we tend to focus so strongly on the love of God. But our sermon title presupposes that there are some things and people that God hates and puts on his blacklist. And trust me, you don't want to be on God's blacklist. How many have ever heard the cliche, God hates sin, but loves the sinner? By a show of hands, let me see. Thank you. If you believe that, I'm sorry to pour some cold water on your theology. That cliche may not be supported in Scripture. And that means it may not even be a true representation of the character of God, but a PR stunt by overzealous religious teachers. As one pastor said, there's no doubt that putting God and the word hates in one sentence, like in our sermon title, right next to each other, is not the most politically correct thing to do in our day and age. So this is a message you may never hear preached by the prosperity gospel preachers, the hyper grace movement, and those who preach the gospel of inclusion and universalism. So much of the preaching that we hear today and that we like are messages that pacify our egos, making us feel good about ourselves. For example, sermons about the amazing love of God and the grace of God, the mercies of God, and the forgiveness of God. But the question is, when was the last time you heard a sermon on the wrath of God or what God hates? Yes, we serve a God of love, but he is also a God of wrath. However, His hatred of sin and wicked people is also an expression of his love. Now, that's a mystery. But remember, God is both a God of love and a God of wrath at the same time. Now, that is good theology. If you just preach the love of God, you are mistaken. Because there's other side of God, the side of wrath. If you only preach the wrath of God and don't preach the love of God, that is not good theology. That is bad theology. So, if you reject God's love, you will meet his condemnation, judgment, and wrath, and eventually death. I told you he's the God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. Here is our big idea. We need to grow in our faith and knowledge of the Bible so that we will hate what God hates and love what he loves in its context. Since we know that God can love and hate at the same time, there is a blacklist of what God hates that the writer of Proverbs would like to bring to our attention this morning. So if you came with your Bible, please turn with me to Proverbs and chapter 6. If you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 6, we are going to read verses 16 to 19. The New King James Version says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, or a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." One who sows discord or dissension, division among the brethren. This could be through spreading malicious gossip, slander, and backbiting. That means doing this through your church community, your extended family, your friends, at your job, your neighborhood, or the global community on social media, gossip platforms, or disseminating fake news in the media. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word. You may be seated. As earlier mentioned, our message is entitled, "What God Hates." Verse 16 of our text mentions two words that are really uncomfortable for most of us: hate and abomination. Other Bible versions might use the words detestable, despicable, vile, repugnant, disgrace, or scandal. So let's look at these two words in their context, the words hate and abomination. Let's start with hate. Verse 16 of our text says, "There are six things which the Lord hates." What is hate, you ask? The word hate means to feel intense dislike or extreme hatred or hostility towards someone or something. To detest, to despise something. Simply said, it is the opposite of love. It is the opposite of what you love. Now, due to cultural presuppositions and religious assumptions, Christians believe that hatred is bad and therefore not something God would do. Scripture passages, like our text, makes them uncomfortable. And so they try to diminish what God openly declares about himself in Scripture. They come up with cliches like God hates the sin but loves the sinner. But that is not what Scripture teaches, as earlier mentioned. That is bad theology. You may be shocked that God also gets upset, angry at sin. And he hates wickedness and wicked people. People that practice wickedness. Throughout Scripture, God punished, repudiated, corrected everyone in Scripture was wicked. Psalm 5, verse 4 to 6 says, O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests, which means hates, or abhors, murderers and deceivers. Psalm 11, verse 5, in the New International Version says, The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. He hates with a passion. The scriptures specifically list many other things the Lord hates, including false religion in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 22, those who do iniquity, Psalm 5, verse 5, the perverted mouth, Proverbs 8, 13, religious rituals and festivals by the ungodly, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 to 15, Amos chapter 5, verse 21. And then the last thing God hates on this list is divorce. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. And in fact, at the beginning of Malachi, God hated Esau and loved Jacob. So Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, God hates pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the depraved mouth. In other words, watch your mouth, because what comes out of your belly can defile you. That's what Jesus said. It's not what goes in, but what comes out can defile you. Because from the abundance of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you speak has something to do with what is in your heart. So if you find yourself speaking hate to people, examine the condition of your heart. How is your heart doing? Verse 19 of our text says, God's hatred is directed at the person who is a false witness and spreads strife, and not just the actions of those people who do those things. So he hates both the actions and the people that do it. God's hatred here is directed at the person that carries out the things that are abominations to God. That is the warning of our text. There are things that God hates and which are abominations to him. If those things are part of your life, you are on God's blacklist. His wrath abides on you. If you haven't seen nothing yet, it's a matter of time. Scripture says you reap what you sow. And in fact, Ephesians says, do not be deceived. Scripture says the wrath of God dwells on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God, not the love of God. The wrath of God dwells on the people of disobedience. Let's go to the second word for us to consider, abomination. The Hebrew word for abomination carries the idea of a thing or feeling that causes disgust or hatred. It is detestable, repulsive, repugnant, loathing, and abhorrent. Just like the things that God hates, there are many more things that are abominations to the Lord than just the seven listed in our text. These include various sexual perversions such as incest, bestiality, adultery, homosexuality, and prostitution, as well as child sacrifice. This includes idol worship, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25 to 26, serving other gods, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13 to 14, acting unjustly, Deuteronomy 25, verse 16, being devious or deceitful and tricky, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32, the perverse in heart, Proverbs 11, 20, the proud in heart, Proverbs 16, verse 5, and those who pervert justice, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5. If you find yourself on God's blacklist for doing what God hates, it doesn't mean that all is lost, but it does mean that without God's intervention and you humbling yourself before God and repenting of your sins, you will remain a recipient of the wrath of God for eternity. Remember, God is not like us. He can hate the sin and the sinner at the same time. That he extends his love to the sinner to offer him redemption through faith in the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. God's wrath remains on that person. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 once, but for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, idolaters and liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Paul states ably in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is hope in Christ, saints. Without him, there's only condemnation and eternal death. You see, saints, the first time Jesus came, he came showing love, compassion, and tears. He was a friend of sinners. But when he comes back, you come with vengeance, with eyes filled with fire. You come and judge and destroy the enemies of God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and 12 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. Look carefully at Revelation chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, which tells us just how awful the wrath of God will be on that day. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand the wrath of God? Skeptics hear of this coming wrath of God and ask, how could a loving, merciful God send people to hell? The truth is, even in his wrath, God is still merciful. He demonstrates his mercy in wrath by never pouring out his wrath without sufficient warning. God tried to warn the world what was coming through Noah before he destroyed the world by flood. God tried to warn the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah through Abraham before he destroyed the city with fire. And remember, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of his impending judgment if they did not repent. And guess what? They did. They repented and God relented. And that's why Jonah was upset, because he wanted to see the city destroyed. And God, because of his love and mercy and compassion, did not. The only important word in that equation is the word repent. If you repent, you will not meet the wrath of God. And in every generation since Christ completed his earthly mission and ascended to heaven, God has raised up preachers and missionaries to sound the alarm, to give the warning that God's wrath, God's judgment is coming upon the world. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 and 16. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy left. He therefore allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, to destroy Jerusalem and take the survivors captive into exile as slaves. God will do the same to sinners. Do not test the patience of God. God is patient because he doesn't want anybody to perish. But don't take his patience for granted. The only thing that will save sinners from the wrath of God is the blood of the Passover lamb. And his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We must believe and put our trust in him for our salvation from wrath. No exceptions. In olden days, God overlooked sin. But now, he demands everyone to repent and believe in Jesus. So what are the things that God hates according to our text? The Proverbs mentions seven specific abominations which God hates. We must believe in what God is saying in his word, in order for us not to be on a blacklist. And so, instead of me giving you seven things the Lord hates, I'm just going to give you one. How's that? I'm just going to give you one. Haughty eyes. Or pride. Looking down on others. The word haughty means being conceited, self-important, stuck up, patronizing, snobbish, and disdainfully proud. The word is always used in the Bible in the evil sense of arrogant, condescending, and setting oneself above others. And that is set in contrast to being humble. To have a haughty eye is to be big-headed, or to have an egotistic demeanor. It's an overall attitude of one's heart that causes one to ridicule others or to look down on others. The haughty person, just like Satan, sets himself above others and ultimately above God. When we are haughty, we become the center of attention and everyone revolves around us. There is little, if any, concern for what others think and no consideration for God. In pride and haughtiness, there where all sin starts, we become targets or being put on the blacklist. If we persist in sin, if we persist, God loves you, but his patience is not for sale. Psalm 105, verse 5. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure, says the Lord. And as I begin my descent, in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, the Bible says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told a parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over there. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Hallelujah. In this case, we have two characters. One to show us what God hates, and the other to show us how to overcome it. I wonder what you think about the Pharisee in the story. Did you notice what his problem was? It is not that he is doing good things, but it is his attitude of self-righteousness in doing them. He is proud of his goodness, but the pride in his heart makes him look down on others who are not as good as he sees himself to be. God hates that. Nothing is more blinding to our eyes than self-righteousness. Now, as I bring this to a close, I know you might be tempted to say, I'm not a haughty person or self-righteous. I will never let pride take over my life. You better watch out. No one is immune from the sin of pride. Let he who stands take heed, lest he falls. So how do we keep ourselves from falling prey to pride and haughty eyes? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Therefore, humble yourself under God's power so that he may raise you up in the last day. Throw all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. Be clear-headed. Keep alert. Your accuser, the devil, is on the plow like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I hope that will not be you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today and we honor you for the preaching of your word. We commit our hearts to you that you may help us to examine our attitude and our self-righteousness that pops up each and every time. And help us, Lord Jesus, to humble ourselves in your presence and live this out, applying it to our lives so we may be changed and transformed by the power of God. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness, because you are a God who wants to see us grow in our faith as we seek to follow Jesus on this journey. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you, because we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. As we come before the table, Lord, we set our hearts ablaze with the passion for the things of God and for the kingdom of God. May we be transformed and may we be renewed by your Spirit as we dedicate ourselves anew to you. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you to the glory of your great name. And somebody in the house said amen.